really good to be here this morning. It's really good to see our brother Travis here visiting with us. Travis is in the military, and we appreciate all of our men who serve our nation and our country, and we're thankful for him. And just ask that you continue to pray for him and his family. Good to see all of our visitors. We have quite a few visitors here, and we're glad you're here. It's always nice to see the smiling faces, and what a great day it is. I've titled the lesson this morning, Celebrating His Transformational Message. And that's what I want us to do today. We celebrate it every day, don't we? But especially as we come together on the first day of the week, as we take the emblems to remind us of that one that came from heaven and gave of his body and his life and his blood to redeem us, to bring us back into the wonderful relationship that we have with God and the promise of a future forever with him. And that's what we're all looking forward to. Celebrating his transformational message. Earlier this week, I got this idea. I was listening to some self-improvement experts. You know, every now and then you'll listen to different messages online, and I had an opportunity to listen to them, and they were talking about a mentor in their life, one person. And every one of them was just sharing what this person meant to them, the lessons that they learned from this one mentor. And it was titled, Celebrating His Transformational Message, that this man and his teachings changed my life. And I thought, boy, that's our message, isn't it, in Jesus? We celebrate a transformational message, his life, which changes us, right? We are changed, right? I want to see all of us nod our heads. If not, we need to talk afterwards. All of us in here have changed, okay? And we're still changing.
There you go.
There we are. Me too. Amen, brother. Me first and foremost. But we are celebrating his transformational message. I want to ask a couple of questions, church, and these are questions that I've asked myself. And I know the nature of certain questions, we really can't answer them just that quickly. And when it comes to the change in our life, I think this is one of those questions, but I want to ask it anyway for the sake of the lesson, and I want you to carry it with you throughout the week. When you reflect on your faith journey, it all began for you and I in a different place. It happened in different ways. We know that it had to do with faith in Jesus. We were either taught it by somebody, they exemplified it in their life. We wanted that. We realized that we had problems because of sin. Whatever the sin is, it separated us from God. We knew our condition without God, and we learned the truth further. We eventually come to the point where we confess those sins. We're immersed into his life, his death, and his resurrection in the waters of baptism, where those sins are removed. We're united with Jesus. We're raised with Jesus, and we walk in a new life. Our conscience is clean. We feel good. It's a new birth. It's a spiritual birth. But as you know, the walk begins, and then you start to learn more, and then there are still moments of great challenge and great trial because of the transformation that is taking place in your life. It doesn't just happen in one moment. It starts one moment. The birth is one moment. But the transformation process is not just one moment. And so to my question for the lesson this morning, since your faith journey began, as you reflect, can you point to any noticeable progress? Whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, 5 years, 1 year, as you reflect on your faith, is there any noticeable progress? Second question, let me take it a little bit further. Do you think as people who know you, maybe acquaintances or family or just general people that you know, as they observe your life, is there any noticeable progress? Now, I know where we go sometimes with this. Say, wait a minute. But the scriptures teach against that, doesn't it? I mean, we are not, there's all kinds of teaching against, example, Pharisees who were doing what they do to be noticed by people. They pray to be seen or heard by people. They give to be seen by people. They know what they know to be seen by people. But yet, the one who has transformed us said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven." You see, it's the difference in I want the glory and God gets the glory. Motive. I want you to hold on to those questions, not just this morning, throughout this week. What Jesus brought us and taught us ought to change us. That's the message. If we are followers of Him, we need to change. We need to be different because His whole message is one of change and transformation. Ed has done a marvelous job in Romans, and it's amazing how this lesson ties right in. He went really deep. I'm not going to go that deep, but I'm telling you, it fits right here, conforming to the very image of Jesus Himself. And none of us have arrived. We're all being transformed every day. You know, it's been said that we're living in the information world. You've heard it said in different ways. We have all kinds of information coming at us. The click of a mouse, the scroll of the phone. We have all the information that we want right here. Some have said we're not living in the information world. We're suffocating in it. You ever feel that way? We're drowning in information. We're so surface. We have so much more than we've ever had before. And yet, we can't process all of this. We have all this information right here before us. And we come to realize, you know what? We don't need more information. We need the wisdom of God. That's what we need. We don't need more information. We need transformation from the wisdom of God. We need that which can come into our lives and cut through all of this other noise and say, "This is true." The wisdom of God. Something that can take the bags, if I could use that terminology, off of the heads that suffocating all of us or our world. Solomon so long ago said it this way, "For wisdom is better than jewels." We love jewels, don't we? We love to wear them. We love to collect them. We love to invest in them. We love jewels. But he says wisdom, God's wisdom, is better than that. For wisdom is better than jewels and all desirable things. We love our desirable things, don't we? Treasures and pleasures, I mean, that encompasses it all, doesn't it? All desirable things, the things that mankind wants and desires. He says, can't compare with her. Who's her? Wisdom. The wisdom of God. What we need. That which transforms our life. If you're struggling and need some assurance, Colossians is the book for you to read. Paul, when I think of one who was transformed, Think of his story. Saul of Tarsus. He's advancing in Judaism. I mean, he is at the top, isn't he? And he comes in contact with the transformational message of Jesus. The message of truth. The message of light. You know, Jesus comes to him on the road to Damascus. A bright light shines. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know the rest of the story. He goes and does exactly what Jesus tells him to do. And his life is changed, transformed forever, even to right now. And he says in Colossians chapter 2, from a persecutor of the church to now assuring the church. He says to them, listen, for all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I know you want wisdom and I know you want knowledge. He says it's in Christ. Stop looking in other places. Because you're going to look forever and you're not going to find. Colossians 2:3. For all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him, in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. What Jesus brought us and taught us ought to change us. You know, I know there are many challenges in the 21st century. I can't even begin to touch on all of them or even know all of them. I know who does, and I know who can deal with them. But you know, one of the areas that I think is a challenge for some of us, sometimes we can get so caught up in just the knowing element of things, just the knowledge of things, if I could use that phrase, just knowledge in our heads. And I think for some of us, it's not that we need to know. It's that we need to do what we already know. Isn't that some of our problem? Do you really need to be told to love? Do I need to give you points on what it means to be kind? That we are not here to live for our own selfish selves. It's all over the scriptures, right? Do we need more? Some of us, yes, we do need that. And we always need the reminder. But do we need just that knowledge in our heads? Sometimes that can be our problem. It doesn't go to our heart, and then it doesn't go to our feet and to our hands. Do you need to know from me over and over again not to be selfish and all that, Kurt, you need to be kind and you need to do this and you need to do that? That's what you need to do. You don't need the knowledge of it anymore. You already know it. Turn to 2 Peter. For those of you who thought I wasn't going to go to a passage in the Bible, I know I quoted some, but here's our passage. Just a few things. I know this lesson is very, very simple this morning, and I mean it to be that way. I want us to think about Jesus' transformational message and what it means to our life today. I've been working on myself, and in time I'm going to share some of the things that I'm learning. And one of the areas I've really focused, because I think one of the greatest books on growing is 2 Peter. And he'll tell us all of these things in chapter 1 that we're to be adding to our lives. I'm not going to go into them this morning. To your knowledge, this, to this, that, you know, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You've read through those. But he gets to the end of that section, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, and then he says, therefore, the things that I've told you that you add to these in your life. He says, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. Now, this isn't more information. This isn't more knowledge. They have the knowledge. Notice he even says, even though you already know them. You know these things. And you have been established in the truth, which is present with you. Verse 13. Peter says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. knowing that the laying aside of my dwelling is imminent. I'm not going to be here forever. That's what he's saying. As also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent. I will give continuous effort. You see, motivation gets us going. Diligence keeps us growing. And that's what he says. You know what it is that motivates us, church, according to Peter? Other writers will say it just in a little different way. The precious and magnificent promises of Jesus. Now, what are those to your life? The precious and magnificent promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would even consider to redeem you and I. To forgive us of those things that when we try to deal with them, they're so deep, if we were to rip them off of us, we would rip flesh and all. He says, I'm diligent that at any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. Not just in your head to keep them there, but to work and keep growing in this. That was Peter's way, in my mind, of saying, I want you to continue to celebrate the transformational message of Jesus. Grow, grow, grow. As you celebrate this message in your life today, let me share one point that I've reflected on this week about change as I look at myself. Because I want you to change. And sometimes as I look at you to change, I'm looking at you when I should really be looking at me. When it comes to our transformation, don't sit back and wait for everybody else to change. You change. You change. You be the change. If I need to be different, or if we think somebody needs to be different, you be the one who is different. I have found no counsel from Jesus in the scripture directly or even implied. No implication from Jesus that I'm to sit back and wait for you to change. It's not in there. I found no counsel to fuss with you when you're not doing, when you're not changing. But what I do find is go and do counsel. That's what I find. Go love. Go forgive. Go be kind. Go give. Go serve. Go take up your cross. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. How do you do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Number one. Number two, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's a go and do, isn't it? That's the Great Commission. You see, what I'm learning is that the outside you is a reflection of the inside you. We can say it any way we want, or we can try to skirt around it or run away from it, but it is a reality. The outside you is a reflection of the inside you, and I think our Lord Jesus exemplified this in his message, taught this in his message better than anybody. Remember when he was being really hard on the Pharisees in Matthew 23? Remember the things that he said, the rebuke, the admonition, the woes that he prescribed or pronounced on the Pharisees? He said to them at one point in chapter 23, verse 26, he said, listen, Pharisees, you first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish. Then the outside will what? It'll be all right. It'll be clean. Because you see, the outside you is a reflection of the inside you. So if I want things to change, and I do, and you do, then I need to change, and you do. I've heard it put this way, and I believe this is truth, and if you will question it, yeah, that's okay. I want you to challenge this and see if it's true in your own life. And you can't just do it for a week and then think that all is going to be fixed. But the best way for you to change anybody else is to change yourself. If all of us grab hold of this in this church, you won't be able to hold those doors. I mean, people will be flying in here. People will be changing, things will be happening, and we won't even, praise be to God. If we want things to change ourselves first. That's the greatest way to make a difference in somebody else's life. And you know what happens when you start to change? Others want to be part of that. Because that's what this is all about. What Jesus brought us and taught us ought to change us. Paul said to the church at Rome, he goes into this powerful, powerful city, most powerful city in the world. And he comes to a little group of Christians. Who knows, maybe there's 100 meeting like here. And he says, I know that Caesar says he's Lord, and I know that he says Rome is all powerful and it's the power of that world. And yes, it's the most powerful nation of the time. But Paul says, listen, we've got power in Jesus. And that's why he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You've heard it. Ed made us memorize it for our test this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. God is not partial. God is not prejudiced. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All sinners, all colors, all kinds. That's a transformational message. That's what Jesus brought. I hope Jesus is transforming you today. And I hope you take his message with you today and throughout this week and think on it and ask yourself that original question about your life and change. Do I notice any progress in my growth? We can encourage you this morning in any way. I know sometimes we are challenged and struggle in our lives. We don't even know how to express it. That's what these moments are for. We're all in the same boat. We all struggle. And if we can assist you this morning and help you, pray for you, you're ready to commit to Jesus, put him on in baptism, be clothed with him, to walk in that new life, to be part of this family, to be forgiven of your sins. That's what this moment is for. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. Don's going to lead us, and if we can encourage you, would you come? As we stand, as we sing.